$1,000. This was the highest number of aid structures placed at risk of demolition in a single month since the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs began keeping track, the lawmakers observed. In the last 2 decades, according to estimates by one human rights group, the Zionist regime has destroyed EU-funded projects to the tune of tens of millions of dollars. Brussels has repeatedly asked the Zionist regime to pay for the destruction of EU taxpayer-funded property, but the lawmakers noted that the Commission admitted that the use of diplomatic and political channels has not been successful. As a result, the lawmakers said Israel has seen no repercussions for illegal demolitions and human rights abuses. This impunity remains intact, according to Janez Lenarisic, the European Commissioner who responded to the lawmakers' question. On a number of occasions, Israel was requested to return or compensate for EU-funded assets that have been demolished, dismantled or confiscated by Israel, Lenarisic said, but that has met with no success. Lenarisic reaffirmed that the EU sees the demolitions and the Zionist regime's colonization of occupied Palestinian land as illegal. Nonetheless, a list of possible options to secure compensation from the Zionist regime for EU funding lost in demolitions has not been discussed, Lenarisic admitted. This relaxed approach contrasts with how Brussels regularly metes out punishments to other countries. We have an EU that sanctions, isolates, and condemns countless nations around the world for perceived infringements of human rights, and sometimes even targeting people in countries for electing leaders that EU financial capital perceives to be a threat to its interest. Mick Wallis, one of the European Parliament members who co-signed the question, told the electronic Intifaza. Wallace, who represents Ireland as part of the left parliamentary grouping, said the crimes of these nations put together wouldn't come close to the horrors perpetrated by the Israelis against Palestinian people. Passing the buck, Lenarisic told the lawmakers that it is for the Council acting by unanimity to decide on a possible adoption of EU restrictive measures. The EU Council, made up of representatives of the bloc's governments, is indeed responsible for adopting restrictive measures, EU jargon for sanctions. But EU procedure is that decisions on the adoption, renewal or lifting of sanctions regimes are taken by the Council of the European Union on the basis of proposals from the High Representative of the Union for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy. The High Representative's, effectively the EU's foreign minister, currently Joseph Borrell, is something of an institutional hybrid. As well as heading a diplomatic service, Borrell is part of the European Commission. What this boils down to is that the first step would be for the Commission itself to draw up a list of proposed sanctions against the Zionist regime, which Lenarisic admits the body has not done. Borrell recently admitted that the EU is effectively a puppet of Washington, which may help explain his inaction. So, what is Brussels doing apart from offering lip service? According to Lenarisic, the EU is engaging in public advocacy that includes frequent visits of various sites in the occupied Palestinian territory by diplomats. That's obviously a reference to the regular photo ops staged by EU diplomats, which do absolutely nothing to restrain the Zionist regime, but serve to falsely whitewash Brussels as some sort of protector and defender of Palestinian rights. Much of the recent destruction has been in Masafer Yatar, an area south of Al-Khalil. That is a focus of the Zionist regime's ethnic cleansing of Palestinians, land theft and settler colonization. The Israeli regime military this month revealed that it plans to imminently expel 1,000 Palestinians from the area, half of them children. That is a war crime. Yet despite this, Brussels maintains its close embrace and material support for the fabricated regime of Israel and its most hardline lobbyists, effectively giving Tel Aviv a green light to continue or even accelerate the destruction and ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. Lawmaker Mick Wallace said no matter what the Israeli administration does, even when they wantonly bomb and destroy EU-funded infrastructure, the EU weapons contracts keep coming. The grants, investments and funding keep coming. He added there can be no other conclusion than this. The brutality that the increasingly far-right Israeli regime apparatus perpetrates against humanity in Palestine and beyond is completely in line with EU values.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. We have two very special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Rouhani and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That's all right. Recently, the notorious Charlie Hebdo magazine in France again desecrated, we can say, with its caricatures and cartoons, the main characters of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, and in his recent versions, you know, the supreme leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, under the flag of the so-called freedom of speech, they are disrespecting and desecrating the religious beliefs of others. Okay, Sheikh Rouhani, the religion of Islam is spreading fast in the Western countries, even after showing the extremist picture of Islam, as was ISIS, which according to some analysts, we can say was established by they themselves in the Western world in order to ruin the true picture of Islam. Islam still is growing and is the fastest growing religion in the world. The name Muhammad, we can say peace be upon him, is selected among the top rated, or it's better to say frequent name of the Muslims, still chosen for the children all across the world. The name Fatima for the girls, you know, and according to all these statistics, Islamophobia is losing its color. And recently, you know, when the World Cup was held in Qatar as a Muslim land, again, the people could see that Islam is a religion of peace and mercy, and Islamophobia was again decreased. I mean, the rate, according to statistics, has shown this. That's why right after, we can say, the Qatar World Cup was held, we could see these cartoons again on Charlie Hebdo. Because they were punished once when they did this. You know, some of their top editors were killed, were assassinated, you know. And so many we can say demonstrations were held in the Muslim lands against them. Their office was shut down for some times, and now we could see they are popping up again. Let's have your analysis on this.
You know, of course, in logic, we say that if a school of thought, if it has the most strong proofs and arguments, then, of course, they make use of proofs and arguments in their syllogisms. They bring, for example, the certain kind of premises and then make the conclusion. So this way, this kind of school of thought will be the most strongest one that will be spread all over the world.
Yes.
If your proofs and arguments are strong, then everybody will accept you.
Okay.
This is what is happening for the Islam.
Mm-hmm.
If you did not have these kind of arguments and proofs, then of course you make use of disputation, or it's called jadal in the logical terms. Then even if you did not have disputational kind of means to spread your doctrines and teachings, then you may use of fallacy or moralata. And the lowest level is the poem, the provocation, and the oration. So when we look at these Charlie Hebdo's and this kind of media, we see that they make use of the lowest kind of means to spread their ideas, their teachings and doctrines to the world. But of course, everybody knows that this is the lowest one in terms of this logical kind of strength. So that is why I think since Islam is a religion which is very much strong and powerful in terms of its main principles, its main doctrines, its main, let's say, ideas.
Okay.
That's why in the world, when the people who are in search of truth, who are searching the truth, when they find Islam, they find it with very strong kind of arguments, with very strong kind of logic. That's why they accept Islam.
Yes.
And this is what the enemies of Islam always fear.
Mm-hmm.
And they do not allow
the popular,
picture of Islam in the Western world.
Yeah.
They know Islam is not these things, as you rightly mentioned. Okay. Islam is not these things that are portraying by, for example, ISIS or these kind of groups. Because they were established.
Yes.
They were established by them themselves.
Yes.
And what they portrayed, what they picturized was not Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Islam is the thing that was spread, for example, in the eastern part of Asia in the history without any sword.
Yes.
If you see, look at the countries like Indonesia, and Malaysia, and Bangladesh, and India, and these countries.
Okay.
You know, Muslims did not attack these areas. They've converted to Islam peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
Same is the case that right now is happening to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
That is why they fear a lot Islam, because when the population of Muslims increase in these countries, of course, their political system will be changed into the Islamic system.
Okay.
Automatically, because the people who vote will be increased. So that's why I think, particularly when it comes to France, they might fear a lot.
Yes. Yes.
The number of the Muslims who is increasing nowadays in those countries. Yes.
The Europe and the European universities, for example, even the French universities, are known for their research. Didn't they research about, for example, the Holy Prophet of Islam? That he was, for example, a peaceful man. He was a man of mercy and kindness to the others. He was the one who saved the women from arrogance. We can say the arrogant behaviors of the men, the tribal behaviors. And now they are disrespecting him, okay? And supporting him, you know? This is really sad that, for example, Macron does not criticize the behaviors of such a magazine under the name of freedom of speech.
Well, obviously, we know that the universities in the especially in the Western countries like Europe, they are under the coverage of the governments. Obviously, they are the government supported. On the other hand, you know, the governments, they approve the researches that are in line with their own goals.
Yes.
Macron and his government and the French government, we talk about French government because yes. we have seen the role of French government in the, especially in the Islamic Republic of Iran at the time of Reza Shah.
Yes.
When they came, they banned hijab in the in Iran. Like they started this, you know, the
hijab.
Kashf-e hijab.
Yes, the, unveiling the women.
Unveiling the women in, yes. In here. In their own country, they had the same thing. They banned hijab in France. And all over the world, whenever we see anything against the Islam, it is from France.
Mm-hmm.
It is starting from there.
Yes.
So basically what...
The so-called intellectuals yes. and bright-minded people.
Yeah. So basically they're not the intellectuals. Why? Uh-huh. Because they're following the satanic,
mm-hmm.
we can say,
powers.
Path.
Yes.
Or the powers. Yes. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, the best thing about all these things, the positive point...
Mm-hmm.
which I take from all these things that they're doing against Islam, against the Supreme Leader, Ayatollah Khamenei and others, or the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it shows that they do not have any logical proof against them.
Mm-hmm.
Any intellectual proof or the research against these personalities.
That's right.
Now, what happens when some such thing happens and the other person is your enemy... Then you choose the other options, and the other option is assassinating the characteristic or character assassination.
Yes.
So this thing shows us they are doing character assassination yes. of the Supreme Leader, for example,
yes.
or the Prophet of Islam,
okay.
or the Quran, or the Islam, but they do not find anything which can they logically, which they logically can prove
mm-hmm.
against the religion or these personalities.
Yes.
So it shows us how silly they or unwise these people are. Because mm-hmm. you know, when you do not find any intellectual, you know, proof against someone, you should accept the proof. For example,
yes.
this is the way. Like you know, you put the question that in the France, especially in the France or Europe, they have the universities which
yes.
are doing research. So when you do research and you don't find anything against mm-hmm. someone,
yes.
it is better to accept that ideology. And this is the path of you know the educational path or
That's
the
right.
we can say like the intellectual path. Because they don't want to follow that, that's why they're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, especially, you know, the Macron, because he is someone who is being, you know, instructed by, you know, the other powers.
Yes.
For example, because they want to gain their own economical, you know, boost, which they do not have, which they didn't have for many years. For that cause, they want to attach themselves to others. But obviously, we see that even the Western powers, they are not backing Macron the way they should.
Yes.
And this is one of the okay. biggest insults of
yes.
the history.
That's right. In response to these insulting cartoons, Iran shut down Tehran-based French Research Institute in response to magazine's insulting cartoons. And this was a harsh, we can say, that's right, the reaction to such an action. You know, this institute is a part of the cultural wing of the French embassy, used to study ancient Persian antiquities, and we let them to do so in our country. So how is it possible to disrespect our prophet or our leaders? We can say that's all right. In the country, Prophet Muhammad, you know, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei and the others. Okay, that's right, Sheikh Rouhani. Up to now was about Prophet Muhammad and the Islamic sanctities. What about the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei? And recently, you know, he was disrespected by Charlie Hebdo magazine too. What about his personality?
I think the main problem when it comes to the Supreme Leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, Hafizahullah, is this that this Islamic Republic of Iran is not like a blindly follower of them.
Mm-hmm.
While in other maybe Islamic countries, they may find the leaders of those countries,
okay.
that they follow them.
Hand in hand with them. That's
exactly,
right.
yeah. But what the Supreme Leader does nowadays is this, that he very explicitly, very categorically opposes their doctrines, their teachings, their ideas. But at the same time, Islamic Republic of Iran is very much powerful and is very much strong. In terms of ideology, I mean, in terms of, let's say, software, we can say, and at the same time, in terms of hardware, in both kind of areas, in both kind of cases, Islamic Republic of Iran is day by day is becoming more and more powerful. This is what they fear.
Okay.
This is what they fear.
Mm-hmm.
If, for example, the leader of Iran was like the leaders of other Islamic nations, for example, some of the Islamic nations, okay. they would not care about. Mm-hmm. They would never, for example, portray these kind of things in their
yes.
medias.
Yes.
When they, for example, insult the supreme leader, it shows that he is doing perfectly his job. Mm-hmm. And that is why they fear.
Yes.
Otherwise, if you're not important, mm-hmm. no one would care you.
Okay.
So that is why I think the main reason that nowadays they focused on Islamic Republic of Iran and particularly on the supreme leader is this, that they fear really the strengthenness of this Islamic State in this area, because the followers of this Islamic Republic in the world is increasing. And the Shiite Islamic teachings and doctrines are being spread all over the world, in Europe, in Africa, in Asia, even in America and Australia. So these are the things that they really fear, but they will never gain. They will gain nothing, because it is the history shows, and the history tells us that at the end of the day, it is the Muslims who will succeed.
That's right.
And those people who are in search of the truth, they will find Islam and they will follow Islam because of the strong kind of basis or yes. fundamentals that Islam has.
I just want to add one thing, what Sheikh has said. One of the reasons, you know, why the West is afraid is because the Shia school of thought does not have violence in it. Mm-hmm. You know, as they show in the movies or pictures, or, you know, the picture of ISIS, I don't know, you know, all these things.
Yes.
In the Shia school of thought, when they come, they don't have all these things. And this makes them being afraid of this okay. this religion. And that's why now, when they don't find anything against the Shia Islam, they are trying to, you know, spread the Shia phobia by yes. making cartoons and all those
okay.
things.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, let us ponder on a brilliant description of the Holy Quran by Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the last and most comprehensive heavenly scripture that God Almighty revealed to her father, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. A covenant he brought unto you, and an heir he left to guard you. That is the eloquent book of Allah, the truthful Quran. the brilliant light, the shining beam. Its insights are indisputable. Its secrets are revealed. Its indications are manifest. And its followers are blessed by it.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
I just told you that all options are on the table.
I have said repeatedly, and I will say today, we are not taking any options off the table.
Rest assured, we will take no options off the table.
No options off the table means I'm considering all options.
What those options might be?
No.
The assassination option.
Somebody is killing Iranian nuclear scientists. Mostafa Ahmadi Roshan murdered along with his driver in broad daylight in Tehran traffic.
One of Iran's top nuclear scientists has been killed in a car bombing in the capital, Tehran.
Two motorcyclists tracked the car through Tehran's morning rush hour, lobbing a magnetic bomb right at Roshan. A mission that seemed right out of a spy thriller like Syriana.
It has all the earmarks of an Israeli operation, very sophisticated, very particular, and very effective.
People are killing Iranian nuclear scientists in a very clear pattern. Sir, who do you think is behind it?
We believe that these terrorist attacks are supported by some elements in the, especially within the Israeli regime, as well as some quarters around the world.
And what about Israel? What reaction today?
You know, Diane, we've been looking for responses from Israel all day, and where did we find it? Facebook, with the Israeli Defense Force spokesman saying, I don't know who settled the score with the Iranian scientists, but I am certainly not shedding a tear, not exactly a denial there.
Nuclear scientist Dariush Reza-i-Nejad was assassinated on the 23rd of July 2011. On the afternoon he died, his wife and five-year-old daughter were in the car with him. He was 32. Fereydoon Abbasi was attacked on the 29th of November 2010 as head of Iran's Atomic Energy Agency on his way to the university where he taught nuclear physics. The 53-year-old survived the attack. He says the fact that Iranian scientists are asked to give so much personal information when they travel speaks volumes in itself. On the same day and at almost exactly the same time, another assassination attack was being launched on the other side of town. 40-year-old Majid Shahriari was the target. He and his wife were on their way to the university where they both taught when a bomb was attached to their car. Shahriari was killed, his wife survived, but with serious injuries. She still bears the scars of that day. She says before the attack, they had received many death threats.
In the past years, there have been 5 assassination attacks targeting Iranian nuclear scientists in Iran. 4 were successful and 1 failed. The number of attacks and the way they were launched show a trend. So what entity or entities are responsible for these attacks?
Maximum covert operations to block and disrupt the Iranian program, including taking out their scientists, including breaking up their systems, all of it covertly, all of it deniable. Second, maximum coordination with the Israelis in a way which allows them to maximize their impact in Iran. Third, absolute strategic program comparable to what President Reagan, Pope John Paul II, and Margaret Thatcher did to the Soviet Union, of every possible aspect short of war, of breaking the regime and bringing it down.
Mark Perry is an American intelligence and foreign affairs analyst based in Washington.
These are sophisticated operations. They're not suicide bombings. The most recent incident was a magnetic bomb, so I would say it's clear that it was an outside intelligence agency. And Leon Panetta, our Secretary of Defense, has said he has a pretty good idea of who did it, and I think he was hinting that it was the Israelis.
Iran has been threatened and sanctioned over its nuclear energy program. 5 assassination attacks have been launched on Iranian nuclear scientists, and now the drums of war can be heard coming from the West. So are the countries pressuring Iran really worried about Iran having nuclear power? Or is the problem something else?
Let's get more on this now from RT's Peter Oliver. Peter, what exactly did Vladimir Putin say?
Well, he was really addressing his standpoint on key foreign policy issues. Iran was also on the lips of the Prime Minister. For a few years now, we've seen criticism of Russia's decision to build a nuclear power plant in Iran. Vladimir Putin saying this, The allegations that Iran was developing nuclear weapons was being used as an excuse to try and initiate regime change in the country.
Public perception is very important in all this. To take such drastic steps against another country, the nations involved have to be geared up to accept such an event. Iran's nuclear energy program has been the center of a lot of Western media attention. It's been labeled a nuclear weapons program, and Israeli director Alex Trayman has made a documentary called Iranium to brand that label on the public psyche.
Ronald Reagan helped a lot with the collapse of the Soviet Union by calling them an evil empire and saying, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
It's very much in the interests of the people of Iran, as well as all of Iran's neighbors and us, for us to do everything humanly possible to get this regime to collapse before it gets a nuclear weapon.
2 + 2 = 4. Israel feels threatened by Iran. It said it would do anything to protect its country. Unlike the United States, the Mossad does not have a prohibition against assassination. Clearly, they want to be able to react to the Iranian threat in any manner they can, up to and including assassinations.
Israel has kept quiet over the assassination of Iranian scientists, but the US, Israel's staunch supporter, has been quite vocal about the whole thing. US presidential candidates say if that's what it takes, so be it.
You have to take whatever steps are necessary to break its capacity to have a nuclear weapon.
And it appears obvious to me that the administration is doing little to nothing. Now, I'm hopeful that some of the things we're seeing with respect to the nuclear program that the United States is involved with, which is, on occasion, scientists working on the nuclear program in Iran turn up dead. I think that's a wonderful thing. I think we should send a very clear message that if you are a scientist from Russia or from North Korea or from Iran and you're going to work on the nuclear program to develop a nuclear bomb from Iran, you are not safe. And if people say, well, you can't go out and assassinate people, well, tell that to Milwaukee. Yeah. Okay? We've done it. We've done it for an American citizen.
I want to categorically deny any United States involvement in any kind of act of violence inside Iran.
Various entities are feeding off the political narrative surrounding Iran's nuclear program, from the media to weapons companies. It's a topic that has influenced global prices, is being used as a tool in elections, and even as an excuse for insurance companies that trade in and around Iran to push up prices. And certain groups that have also been fighting against the Iranian government for years have hooked their wagon up to this caravan.
Remember, this all started when we found them enriching uranium in an undeclared fashion. And it happened because somebody told on them. There was an Iranian group that brought forth the information.
A former United Nations weapons inspector in Iraq says Israel and the MKO are collaborating.
The question is, did that information, was it sourced by the MKO itself, or was the MKO used as a vehicle to provide this information to the public? There's reason to believe that in the case of the Natanz information, that this information was actually a product of a third agency, an outside party, Israel. Which developed this intelligence, and then Israel used the MKO as the vehicle to spread this information because of the MKO's past record of having intelligence information relevant to the Islamic Republic.
Do you believe that the Israelis are working with the People's Mujahideen of Iran? Do you believe Israel is working with Iranian dissidents?
I would say this: Iran is highly alert to the possibility of Israelis infiltrating it with false identities, trying to kill people, sabotage the Iranian nuclear project, and therefore it is very hard for Israelis to work in Iran. And it might that is that, unlike the history of most of the history of Israeli intelligence, where these operations were conducted on a, quote, blue and white principle, which is the colors of the flags of Israel, meaning only Israeli citizens, only Jews participate in such an operation. Maybe in Iran, the case is different because Iran is a different territory and very hard to work in. When you got such a territory, you might think to recruit locals upon your own people.
By its own admission, the West considers all the options to be on the table: threats, sanctions, assassinations, and now the drums of war. Iran says Western think tanks are employing rather feeble strategies and are grossly mistaken in their calculations regarding Iran and the Iranian nation. Of course, the tactics being used against Iran can only succeed if the international community buys into all the hype and propaganda surrounding Iran.
You take a look at Iran and you realize that there's a number of patterns in place that are the exact replica of what had occurred with Iraq. I realized that the United States was playing the exact same game with Iran, manufacturing an artificial crisis over Iran's nuclear weapons program. And then you have a track record of the United States exaggerating a case of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and now you take a look at the case they're making with Iran, and you realize that the same pattern is at play, that the United States is manufacturing a false premise for confronting Iran. For what reason? Regime change.
Mind you, the international community did just that back in 2001 and 2003, when the West attacked Afghanistan and Iraq.
Today's special. Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us. We're going to speak about the best way to approach the Quran.
وفيه الخير للإنسان ويطوي عثرة المجروح ويطوي عثرة المجروح.
Today, Monday, is the 23rd of Jamadi Uthani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 26th of Day, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 16th of January, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we'll listen to verse 29 of chapter Sa'd.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun liyadabbaru ayatihi waliyatadhakkara ulul albab.
This is a blessed book which we have revealed to you, O Muhammad, that they might reflect upon its verses, and that those of understanding would be reminded.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Holy Quran is surely blessed. Its recitation, reflection, history, reasoning, story, the examples of sciences, hidden news, similes, bits and forbids, all in all are full of mysteries and secrets. Quran is for contemplation, and it is not merely for taking a good omen to its apparent. And contemplation in the Quran is for admonition, else there may happen that a person perceives the scientific secrets of the Quran, but it causes his pride.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا.
As we follow this topic, the best way to approach the Quran, we have the Holy Quran contains Allah's message to all people. Yes, of course. It tells people how to act correctly. It guides us to the correct way of life in this world. The Book of Allah, the Holy Quran, also talks about life after death. It tells us that Allah has prepared paradise for good people and hell for bad people. The Quran encourages the worship of only one God who creates and provides for them. The book forbids people from evil and condemns those who do wrong. It contains the stories of the past prophets and the examples of bad and good people. People are advised in the Quran to be good to others and respect them. It teaches people
to live in peace and harmony, fulfilling the very purpose for which the Quran was sent.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Today, we are going to talk about the different approaches to the understanding of the Holy Quran. There has not been any Orientalist either who would begin the study of the Quran by saying, let us trace from the earliest of the manuscripts of the Quran to see what was included in it and what was not. The Quran is absolutely free from this kind of investigation necessary in case of such books as the Bible, the Torah, and every other ancient or not so ancient work. Only for the study of the Quran, no such questions arise, and the Quran is far above the usual norms of authenticity and the crafts of manuscripts reading. Moreover, besides the fact that the Quran is one of the heavenly scriptures and has been regarded by its followers as the most basic and authentic proof of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, claim to prophethood, and as the greatest of his miracles, the Quran, unlike the Torah, was not revealed at one time and was not subject to later difficulties in distinguishing the true manuscript. The verses of the Holy Quran were revealed gradually during a span of 23 years. From the very first day, the eager Muslims memorized its verses, preserved and recorded them. These were the days when the Muslim society was quite a simple society. No other book existed besides the Quran, and the Muslims were inevitably inclined to memorize its verses. Their clear, unmarked minds and their powerful memory, their general ignorance about reading and writing, all these factors assisted them in acquiring and retaining the information regarding the Quran. This is the reason why the message of the Quran, which was so congenial to their sensibilities and their natural propensities, got effectively imprinted on their heart like inscription on a stone. IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
When speaking is about ways of approaching the Quran with purity of intention, we should never forget that nor should you come to the Quran with the fixed intention of finding support for your own views, notions, and doctrines. For if you do, you may then hear an echo of your own voice in it, and not that of God. It is this approach to the understanding and interpreting of the Quran that the Prophet has condemned. And nothing could be more unfortunate than to use the Quran to secure for your own person worldly things such as name, esteem, status, fame, or money. You may get them, but you will surely be bartering away a priceless treasure for nothing, indeed even incurring eternal loss and ruin.
وعطر كل لسان وهنا حلقات الصديق قلب ينبض بالقرآن وهنا حلقات الصديق قلب ينبض بالقرآن هذا النور شفاء صدور فاض وعطر كل لسان وهنا حلقات الصديق قلب ينبض بالقرآن
Who sent the Quran? Another important point that helps us again benefit from the Quran is that it is the book of Allah. While it may seem obvious, we tend to overlook. All the teachings, commands, prohibitions, wisdom, and stories have been revealed by none other than Allah, the creator of the universe, the most knowledgeable, the most wise, and the most loving. Can he who loves you more than your mother command something that is harmful for you? Can he who is all-wise and all-knowing say something that is wrong? Whatever he has given us in the Quran is 100% true and perfect. This is why Allah reminds us again and again that it is he who has revealed the Quran. Moreover, it also clarifies that the Quran is universal and for all times. Allah knew what was to come and he knows what is to come in the future. Quran is for the whole mankind till the last of days. It is likewise applicable in all places and in every era.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ This Quran is in no way or shape or form like any other book in that it brings both spiritual as well as physical healing. Hence you find that the Holy Beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam beautifully mentions that the superiority of the Quran over all other kalam is like the superiority of Allah over His creation. As you recognize just by this, the importance of this particular holy book. The Ahlul Bayt, no doubt, as you and I, each and every one of us know very well, paid most attention to the Holy Quran. Our holy fourth Imam, Imam Zain al-Abidin al-Sajjad, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, is narrated to have said that if whoever's in the east or whoever's in the west is perished and nobody remains alive, I would not feel lonely because I have the Holy Quran. Indeed, that is a highlight and reflects of the relationship that the glorious family of the Prophet had with the Book of Allah.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special, which was about the best way to approach the Quran. Inshallah, we continue this interesting and, of course, essential topic. Thank you very much and keep us in your dua and supplications. Till another meeting, have a nice time.
موعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به
الفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.